Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Monitoring Data Power with ITCAM for SOA, ITCAM Agents for Data Power, and WAMC. Today's presenter is Doreen Yelton. Doreen joined the IBM Data Power Support Team in 2008. She helps customers with data power issues, specializing in issues involving integration with IBM Tivoli products for monitoring and managing data power appliances. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Doreen.
Thank you very much, Joseph, and welcome to everyone. So let's go to slide number 2, please, Joseph. For the agenda today, we're going to do a quick overview of the 3 different products that we're going to discuss, the ITCAM Agent for Data Power, the WebSphere Application Management Center, and the ITCAM for SOA Data Collector and Agent. Part of the reason for presenting all 3 products together is that the names are so similar and the terminology involved in the functions they provide are really similar as well. So there's data power monitoring, appliance management, and service management. The service management feature itself does a lot of monitoring, and so it will help, I think, to clarify what each product does and the benefits of using them all together to monitor and manage your data power environment. So first we'll just go over, it's a fairly quick overview of the products, and because we're discussing all 3 products in one session, we'll go over just a few sample problems, 1 or 2, for each of the different products. As Joseph said, I work in support for data power and the interface between it and some of these Tivoli products. And so that's the perspective I'm coming from, and I hope going over how the products work and how to analyze issues with them is helpful to you as you're doing your installation and use of the products. Okay, so let's go to slide number 3, please. So here again is some of the terminology that we use for these products. So the first bullet says data power monitoring, and that's monitoring the appliance as a whole. So even though in data power there's the feature of a domain where you can group similar services together so that you can easily export and import them, and that different groups at your company can work kind of in their own separate space on the data power appliance, a service in a single domain really impacts the resource utilization across the appliance. There's no segmentation of resources per domain. So domains are really kind of a convenience for you to package things together to be able to allow your teams to work in separate areas of the appliance without impacting each other. So you really need to monitor the appliance as a whole to understand the capacity of the appliance, what your resource utilization is. The resource utilization figures include things like CPU utilization, how much memory is in use on the appliance, what the load is on the appliance, which can be an indicator of how much traffic it's taking, how many connections are in use on the appliance. And the reason it says resource utilization and more is that you also have the capability to upload latency logs in the data power monitoring feature set. And then you can identify or configure situations to react to some of those utilization figures that come across from data power. So you can actually set up situations to alert your operations staff if the memory utilization increases from what you normally expect in your environment to something that indicates maybe a capacity issue or a problem that needs attention from your operations staff. Similarly, you can configure traps in the data power monitoring feature so that if data power sees an issue or an event that needs operations intervention, data power can send a trap out to the data power monitoring feature. so that your operations staff can be alerted. So appliance management is different from data power monitoring because it really has to do with updating the configuration on data power. You might start out with one or two data power appliances, but as you grow your implementation, you grow the number of appliances that you have, and you start to look for ways to more easily update both your configuration of your services and the firmware on the appliances. So over time, you'll be updating, maybe adding new services. You might be updating the processing policy of existing services. And to have failover capability and high availability, you'll almost certainly have multiple appliances with the same configuration. The appliance management features let you identify a master appliance where you can update the configuration one time and have that configuration automatically sent out or synced up on other appliances in your environment so that you don't have to write scripts or log on manually to multiple appliances to make your service configuration update on each appliance that you have that hosts that service. Appliance firmware, IBM comes out with new updates to our firmware almost on a monthly basis. The fixed packs that are available for data power firmware are out on the web, and we hope that our customers are updating that firmware at least a couple of times a year to stay current and benefit from the fixes that have been found and addressed in the firmware. And again, when you have a new firmware that you want to update, you almost certainly have multiple appliances that you need to put it on. And with appliance management, you can put that firmware on your master appliance and have it automatically synced up to other appliances in a managed set of appliances. And finally, services management lets you manage your individual services. It lets you know how many times each port in operation is getting hit for a web service proxy. You can also configure service management for multi-protocol gateways because you really want to know how many times your individual services are getting hit, how big the messages are that come in, and also, very importantly, what the response time you're getting is. Okay, slide number 4, please, Joseph. So slide 4 just kind of highlights that even though each of these features is important in and of itself, in combination, they have a high business value. Because if you, for example, your appliance level metrics might show that you have high memory, but if you're monitoring with some of these tool sets, you can tell the difference between memory that's high all of a sudden, a memory peak, and memory that's been slowly increasing over time. And those are two very different issues. So it's critical, especially, you know, from a support perspective, again, if a customer has a problem where the appliance has had a memory issue, run out of memory, and had to restart, you know, that's one of the first questions that we have is what does your memory typically run? How is the memory just prior to the problem? And so the appliance monitoring, the data power monitoring feature really helps with that. But you really need the service level metrics in combination with your appliance level monitoring because you might see if you had a peak in memory utilization, your service level metrics or service management feature might show you that there was a peak in traffic at the same time or that there was high latency on the back end and your elapsed time or your response times on your transactions were really slow during that high memory. So when the back end is slow and data power is sitting there waiting for the back end to respond, it's using memory for all those transactions that are sitting there waiting for a back end. So the appliance level metrics and service level metrics together are kind of greater than the sum of their parts, right? Because they both tell one perspective of a story. In addition, these kind of metrics are really important because data power performance testing is pretty critical prior to deploy of a data power service in production, because every customer has a different network environment, their service and what it does and its processing policy is different. The back-end system is different. The message sizes are all different. So there's no performance data published for data power. We can't show one scenario that fits everyone, so you really need to do performance testing of your solution before you deploy it in production. And these metrics are what you need in combination with the load that you put on your appliance to see, you know, actually confirm the traffic volumes that you're sending to the appliance and confirm how the appliance is responding at the appliance level with CPU utilization and load and memory. That output from the load testing will tell you what to expect in production, and in turn, if you ever run into a memory issue in production, you'll have some experience with what to expect, you know, what the metrics look like from your load test. So it will help you analyze the issue. In addition, there's a service level monitoring feature in Data Power, SLM, that lets you cap how much traffic can come into Data Power before it starts getting throttled. And if you do load testing in a performance test environment prior to production deploy, you can actually set your service level monitoring in your processing policy so that you won't overrun your back end, so that you will start turning away traffic before capacity becomes a problem. Slide number 5, please. So this maps the different functions and how they actually map to products. The ITCAM agent for Data Power is kind of shown in the center. It's its own product that you can purchase on its own, but it also comes available with WAMC, the WebSphere Appliance Management Center. So that's why it's shown kind of as a box inside WAMC. And the ITCAM agent and the ITCAM for SOA components both are showing with arrows pointing into an excerpt from the Tivoli Enterprise portal in the upper right. So the ITCAM agent that does the data power monitoring at the appliance level, and the ITCAM for SOA data collector and agent that do service management at the service level, both feed their data into Tivoli Enterprise Portal, or TEP, T-E-P. They just show their metrics in different sections in the navigation pane in the TEP. Okay, so the ITCAM agent for data power does data power monitoring, and that's the label in the TEP navigation, data power monitoring, where those utilization numbers are displayed. And the ITCAM for SOA data collector shows its metrics under a heading in the navigation pane called service management. The WAMC component has its own end-user interface, its own portal, called the TIP, Tivoli Integration Portal. So you have TIP and TEP both. The Tivoli Integration Portal, where WAMC displays things like the firmware that's available, the appliances that you set up to manage. That portal, the TIP, has a pointer or a link over into the TEP. So the ITCAM agent comes with WAMC, and in the WAMC portal, you can click on a link for monitoring to go over and see the metrics that the agent collects. Okay, if we can go on, please, to slide number 6. So this kind of shows the same topology, the products and how they feed their data into the different consoles for them. It just shows a tad more technical data about the technologies that are used by the products. So, for example, on the left side, the WAMC feature communicates with Data Power on the XML management interface. The XML management interface is something that you can use outside of any of these products. It takes in requests in SOAP format and responds to them, so you can use the XML management interface to ask Data Power about utilization information, and you can use it to get files off of the appliance. WAMC uses it to install firmware and make configuration updates. On the right side, you'll also see there's the arrow between DataPower and ITCAM for SOA is also going into the XML management interface on DataPower, and it's also labeled with SOAP because ITCAM for SOA also uses a SOAP request to communicate with DataPower. The SOAP requests are obviously different from the WAMC. They are based on a WS eventing standard, web services eventing. So the requests that ITCAM for SOA sends in are things like wanting to subscribe to services in a specific domain. Also shown here on the ITCAM for SOA side is a little WSM buffer. That's just a place in memory in DataPower where DataPower saves off metrics about services and the size of the request and the transaction response time. And that buffer is how what DataPower looks into whenever ITCAM for SOA sends in a SOAP request to request data. And in the center, the ITCAM agent for DataPower is communicating with DataPower on over SNMP on ports 161 and 162. The ports shown here are just the default ports for DataPower. They're configurable in DataPower and in the other products. So if you don't want these products to talk to DataPower, for example, on port 5550, you can configure that to a different port. Also on the right, there are some metric logs shown. We'll go into those in more detail. But after ITCAM for SOA collects data from DataPower, it saves that data temporarily in flat files called metric logs that are on the system where the data collector and the agent are running. Okay, we can go on ahead to slide 7. So we're going to go into some sample issues now. I understand I went pretty briefly and kind of glazed over the functionality of the different components. There are some resources at the very end of the presentation that go into more detail about the individual products, and you know, we'll have opportunity during Q&A also to ask questions about things that maybe I didn't cover. So the sample issues that we're going to go over, there's one or two for each component. For DataPower monitoring, what if you look into that TEP portal and you don't see any utilization information? What do you do? If you're trying to do appliance management and you're trying to add an appliance to be managed and you can't, or you're trying to upgrade its firmware, how do you go about analyzing that issue? Or if you're doing services management and, again, you don't see any information in the TEP. We'll go over those as sample issues. In each of the little slides, we'll try to kind of harken back to the topology page that we just went over that shows how the different components talk with DataPower, just to kind of remind you how this issue fits in with the overall flow of data between the different products. Okay, slide number 8, please. So first, under monitoring, DataPower monitoring, where you're trying to do monitoring of the appliance as a whole, what is its CPU, what is its memory? On the right, there's a little picture of what the Tivoli Enterprise Portal should look like when you select utilization under the DataPower monitoring navigation pane in the TEP. So you should see these really lovely purple bars and blue and green that show you some actual numbers for the utilization. And if things are not working properly, you can still see these charts, but there's no data in them. They're like empty bar charts, no lovely purple colors. So if you run into an issue like that, just recall that DataPower is communicating with this ITCAM agent for DataPower over SNMP on port 161. Port 162 is used for outbound traps from DataPower to the ITCAM agent. And the approach to use is look at the agent logs to see what kind of error messages might be there to describe what communication problem there might be. Check your configuration again, and then use a packet capture if those two first two items don't work out for you. So we'll go into a little bit more detail on each one. Slide 9, please. Joseph? So, again, if there's no data in the TEP, first look at the agent logs. So when the ITCAM agent for data power is running, there's a window on the system where the ITCAM agent is running that shows you your different agents. It lets you get into the TEP if you want to. It has an icon that looks like a stoplight. I didn't do a screen capture for this page. But in that window, you can right-click on the agent, the ITCAM agent for data power, and choose an advanced selection and then say view trace log, and it shows you the log for the ITCAM agent in a little pop-up window. And you can just scroll to the bottom of that, is usually the approach I take, to see the most recent problems. And often there will be something indicating what your problem is. If you don't want to log on and use the end user interface to look at the log, you can also find it in a logs directory. Your ITM home directory is usually something like /ops/IBM/ITM, or, you know, if you're running on Windows, it might be C/IBM/ITM. We use this approach a lot because you can, you know, look at logs maybe easier than you can log into the actual server running your agent. So the log name will be my instance. Like when you're installing the agent, your instance might be, like for me, I'm running on Windows, and my instance is like the name of my Windows server. So that shows. Oh, it shows my example there. My instance is actually called Data Power Level 2, and then my agent is DPL2Win3. That's the name of the Windows machine where I'm running the agent. Okay, so your log name will be something like that. Often you can just, you know, go to this logs directory and sort, you know, by the most recently updated log, and that'll help you find the log you're looking for as well. So either approach will show you the same log. And here's an example of what you might see if your ITCAM agent is unable to get to data power on port 161. And again, that port is configurable. So what you might see is this timeout occurred, no response from agent, and then it'll say the name of your data power. Mydatapower.ibm.com is probably not the host name for your data power. One of the mistakes that I made when I was configuring this is the screen capture here shows when you're configuring the agent to talk to a data power, you're prompted for several things on that little left nav, and finally it asks you for the SNMP host. Well, that's just the host name of your data power or the IP address of it. So when I was first playing around with the product, I was confused about what it was asking me for, and I put, you know, the host name of where my agent was running. So when you look at this, if you see this timeout error, first make sure that the agent, I think the terminology agent is a little confusing in this error message, but what it's trying to tell you is that it's trying to contact data power and it cannot. Okay, so make sure that where it says mydatapower.ibm.com in your error message, if you see the same one, that's the host name of your data power. And think back to what you entered when you configured the agent, and think back to, did I enter the right host name for data power? Okay, slide number 10, please. If some trace log really doesn't speak to you and tell you what's the matter, then give your configuration a second to check. Okay? You're trying again to configure the agent to talk to data power over SNMP on the same port. You have choices about which version of SNMP you're using. You have choices on both sides, on the data power side and the ITCAM agent side, for a port number and a host name, and so you need to make sure those match up, right? They're trying to talk to each other, and if the configurations don't agree, you'll get that timeout message. So one option to check your data power configuration is to just use an SSH session to log into DataPower and type show SNMP. I'm showing a command line examples here for the DataPower interface just because as you use DataPower more and you learn this command line, it's really quick. The web GUI is a really nice interface for DataPower. It will show you your SNMP settings as well. But I guess I just am a command line type person, so I like being familiar with the DataPower command lines, and I like being able to just copy-paste the output from these commands because they're simple text, so you don't need a big screen capture to show what you saw when you were looking at the configuration. When you do show SNMP, it shows you if SNMP is enabled or disabled. Maybe it's disabled, and that's why you can't communicate between DataPower and the agent. There's an IP address listed. If it's all zeros like this, that means the agent can communicate to DataPower on any Ethernet interface. But if you've limited the Ethernet interface that can be hit for SNMP, that might be a contributing factor to why your agent can't talk to DataPower. So make sure that your agent is using the same host name or IP address that's listed in the DataPower IP address field. And the port needs to be matching, right? So on the in the middle of the screen, you see under DataPower port 161, on the bottom of this page, you see the CFG or config file that is created when you go through your configuration on the agent side. So go look at this configuration file, and it should say port 161 if DataPower says port 161. And, you know, and if DataPower is configured for version 2 or version 1, you want to make sure the community configured in DataPower matches the community configured in the agent. Okay, let's go on to slide number 11, please. So you might, if you get that simple timeout message, you might have already seen something in the configuration that you didn't have quite right, or the error message might have told you what was the matter. But in some cases, everything looks right in the configuration to you, and you can't quite tell what's going on. And so the DataPower packet capture feature, which helps with a lot of analysis of a lot of DataPower problems, can help with this as well because, again, the communication is just SNMP over port 161 typically. And so if you go to the DataPower troubleshooting page, in the default domain, there's a packet capture feature there, and you can run a packet capture and just see if the agent is talking to DataPower on port 161. You can run a packet capture for something like a minute or 90 seconds and then download it from DataPower. The packet capture just gets created in the temporary folder on DataPower. You can download it to your workstation and use something like Wireshark to take a look at it. And Wireshark has a filter feature that lets you look. The packet capture will typically show you a lot of traffic, and you just want to see the SNMP traffic. So if you just type SNMP in Wireshark, it'll show you the SNMP traffic. At the top of Wireshark, it just shows you the individual frames or the network traffic back and forth. So it might show you something like this, where the agent is talking to DataPower with a GET request, and that's what you expect for the agent to say, give me this value. And in the detail of each frame, it will show you the community that was being used on the SNMP request and the port that was being hit. So here's another way for you to confirm your configuration is correct. Is this the community that you intended the agent to use? Is it the port you expected the agent to be communicating on? So notice in this example, all we see are GET requests, right? So the agent should be asking DataPower, what's your CPU utilization, what's your memory, and DataPower should be answering back, and we're not seeing that in this little example. We're just seeing the agent saying, give me data, and DataPower is not responding. Let's go to slide number 12, please. So if you see something like that where SNMP, all you see are GET requests from the agent and you don't see any responses from Data Power, check the community again. Like if the agent is configured with Community A and Data Power is configured with Community B, this is what you'll see in your packet capture. You'll see the agent talking to Data Power, but Data Power won't answer because it doesn't recognize the community name. It might also indicate that SNMP responses, that Data Power is actually answering, but it's answering on another Ethernet interface. And so one thing to consider is using the packet capture feature that lets you do a PCAP on all your interfaces, not just one. So you can see, is Data Power answering, but just on another interface? If you look at the packet capture and you don't see any SNMP traffic, then that kind of indicates the agent's not talking to Data Power at all. Maybe there's something in the middle, like a firewall between Data Power and the agent that's prohibiting the communication. Maybe that port is not open in the firewall or something like that. So you can try doing a PCAP on the agent side using TCP dump or something that comes with the operating system on the agent side, and maybe get your network team involved to see maybe there's some kind of network feature like a firewall that's stopping the traffic from the agent from reaching Data Power. And, you know, just make sure your agent is running. In the window that shows all the agents, you know, that it shows a status about whether your agent's running or not. Okay, slide number 13, please. So that was our one sample for the Data Power monitoring feature. So now we're moving to appliance management. And appliance management, is fairly different, right? A completely different feature than Data Power monitoring. This is where you want to just have an easier approach to updating your configuration and your firmware on multiple appliances. Here you might have trouble just adding the appliance to be managed by WAMC, or maybe you're having trouble getting the firmware updated. So let's look into those two and move to slide 14. So in the WAMC console, remember that's the TIP, Tivoli Integration Portal, you'll have the capability to add a it's called adding a device, where all you're doing is just adding, initially just add Data Power as a device. You haven't set it up as in a managed set yet or anything. You're just saying, I intend to do something with this appliance. And if you remember the configuration, WAMC is going to try to talk to Data Power on that XML management interface, which is typically port 5550. And here, if you can't add the device, there's a little pane in the bottom right-hand corner of the TIP portal that shows you an error message, and it's really a lovely end-user interface, and it highlights the error in red as shown here in the screen capture, and it'll show you the error that it wasn't able to communicate with Data Power. So it's similar to the previous issue, except we're talking over port 5550 typically, and again, just like previously, you want to compare your Data Power configuration with your WAMC configuration and make sure they match. Okay, so on the Data Power side, again, here we're showing the command line to show the XML management interface. You can look at this in your Data Power web GUI as well. Make sure that when you configured your device in WAMC, the port that you used in WAMC matches the port that's actually configured on the Data Power. Also make sure that the admin state is enabled for the XML management interface. Everything in Data Power is shut down by default because it's a secure network appliance, so you have to enable or open things up on purpose, and the XML management interface is disabled initially, and so you may not have enabled it yet. Okay, slide number 15, please. Once you get the appliance defined in WAMC, you have the capability to define the firmware to be used on it. And again, the purpose of that is so that you don't have to get on every one of your appliances and upgrade the firmware whenever you decide it's time to go to a new fixed pack. So you can right-click on the appliance and say set firmware version, and you get a pop-up window that shows you the firmwares that you can use for this device. And in this case, in the window on the right, that screen capture is showing that the window comes up empty. And that's a little confusing because there's not really an error message that goes with it. It's just kind of showing you, hey, I can't find anything that's appropriate for this appliance. Okay, so on slide 16, one approach, if you get that blank window, is to go at this from a different angle. And there's also a firmware page in the TIP, the integration portal, where it shows all the firmware that you've uploaded. So when you are using WAMC, you're going to be defining your devices, and you're also going to be uploading the firmware right into WAMC, right? So you can go to the page where you've uploaded firmware and right-click on the firmware and say, I want to put this firmware on a specific device, and that will show you the devices that match that firmware. So between the two different approaches, maybe you'll see something that tells you maybe what's going on. Like maybe nobody's uploaded any firmware yet, and that's what you need to address. Okay, slide 17, please. If you try that other approach where you go to the firmware page and you try to set the firmware on an appliance and you don't see anything there either, or you don't see what you expect there, maybe it shows some appliances but not the one that you're trying to set the firmware for, then the logs can be helpful. There's, again, here's two different approaches. You can just go to where the log is, which is wherever you installed WAMC. There's underneath that, there's a management profiles, TIP profile, log server 1 folder. You might recognize that file path is kind of typical in a WebSphere environment, you know, where you have a server 1 folder under logs where you're looking for your system out. System out's typically really useful in WebSphere, and there's some WebSphere technology reuse in WAMC. So you can just go to that system out log and check it out, and it might tell you the issue. You can see the same sysout log if you go into the WAMC portal and choose settings and then WebSphere administration console, administrative console. And then from there, once you're in that takes you to a typical WebSphere admin console that you might be familiar with. And then under the WebSphere admin console, you can select troubleshooting, logs and trace, server 1, JVM logs, and there's a runtime tab there that shows you system out. Right. So either way you're comfortable with looking at system out, it'll show you the same data. And in the case of WAMC, when you're trying to set the firmware on an appliance, WAMC is going to go through and look at all your appliances and all your firmware and find matches, right? Because firmware, only certain firmware can go on only certain appliances. We came out with a new model of appliance last year that takes a new kind of firmware. You know, we have different models of appliance like XP60, XI50. And so the WAMC functionality will just go find the firmware that's appropriate for the appliance. And when it finds appliances that don't match or firmware that doesn't match, it kind of thinks out loud in the log. It puts out messages, oh, I looked at this firmware, but it's not a match. I looked at this firmware, and it's not a match. And this log will help you understand maybe what's going on if you're not able to find a match between device and firmware. Okay, slide 18, please. So this is our last example of a problem, and this is for services management. And so, again, here, services management is when you're looking at individual transactions, individual services, not looking at the appliance monitoring as a whole, where you're looking at CPU and memory, things like that. This is for individual services. What port in operation got hit, how many times did it get hit, what was the size of the message coming in, and how long did the response time take. Okay, and again, this shows the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, the TEP again, because both the ITCAM agent that does data power monitoring and the ITCAM for SOA data collector and agent that do services management, both of them feed their data into the TEP. Okay, so you'll see maybe for the same appliance in the TEP, under data power monitoring, you'll see its utilization, and then a little bit further down in the navigation pane, under services management, you can see individual services information. So this picture of the TEP shows what things are like when life is not good and you're not seeing any data. So it shows that on the right-hand side, the chart is actually empty, where you might expect some really nice yellow or green or blue bars. Also notice on the bottom, you might have to increase the size of the chart to notice, but there's an average elapsed time in the tabular section at the bottom of the TEP, and that shows a minus one, okay? So that might mean there's just no traffic at this time, but what we're going to do is, when you are looking in the TEP and you don't see any data, it's really useful to know how the data travels from point to point, from data power as a starting point to TEP as the end destination, because you can go to each of those different stages to identify the point of failure if there's a problem and you don't see any data in TEP. So lots of times we'll get, and we'll be helping customers who are reporting there's no data in TEP, and we walk them through these four steps that we're going to show on the next slide to say, well, how far did the data get? Okay? So let's go take that walk and start on slide 19. So the first step in getting data from data power all the way to TEP for services management is this little blue WSM buffer that I mentioned very early on in the presentation. It's just a spot in memory where data power sets aside information on the transactions that it has been processing, so that when the ITCAM for SOA data collector comes in to ask about those metrics, data power has them handy in a little cache or a queue to provide over that SOAP interface into port 5550. Okay, and you can see the status of that buffer with a command in data power called Show WSM Agent Status. And here I highly recommend use of an SSH session. Like, we typically use PuTTY here to SSH into appliances, because the ITCAM for SOA data collector is collecting every 10 seconds or maybe even faster for some customers. And so you need to be able to look at the status in very quick snapshots. And the CLI interface is so quick and has such low overhead that it's really the interface best suited for that. Again, you can use the web GUI. It will show you the WSM agent status as well. But here we use this CLI interface because it's so quick that you can hit the status multiple times in a 10-second interval and better understand what's going on with your data. So the recommended steps here for analysis are to enter that Show WSM Agent Status and then click on the up arrow in your PuTTY session so you have another command ready. Okay, because again, things are going to happen really quickly. You just don't have a lot of time to move your mouse around and click and check status again. The WSM Agent Status shows something called Complete Records and Records Seen and Records Lost. Okay, so a complete record is a record ready for ITCAM SOA to come get it. Okay, so when you send a transaction and it's either successful or unsuccessful, either way, once the request and response have been processed, then data power saves information about that on the side in this buffer, and it's marked as complete or ready to be collected. Okay, if the request has come in but data power hasn't processed the response yet from the back end, that's not ready for collection, so it's not a complete record. a record seen is kind of just a tally of all the records that have been seen over time. So complete records are ones that haven't been collected yet. You know, something has just happened and it's ready to be collected. Records seen includes all the records or transactions that have gone through for that domain since the last restart of the appliance, right? So you might have millions of records seen in that counter, but complete records is just what has just come through and hasn't been collected yet. So when you look at the WSM agent status, you want to understand those numbers and make a note of what they are, and then send a test transaction. Make sure you know what time it was when you sent it. Make a note of that. And then hit enter back in your session, okay, where you're showing the status. So complete records might be, it's ideal to do this in a unit or development, unit test or development environment, but say complete records is 5 when you issue your test. Now when you look at the status again, complete records should be 6. Or, you know, maybe the collector's running and it collected data, so maybe you want to just look at records seen, which could have been 3,000, 5,000, and now it's 5,001 because you just sent your new transaction. Okay, so you want to look for your records seen to increment, and that means that data power has been properly configured to make note of your transaction in this WSM buffer so that the data can be collected later by the IT CAM Priscilla data collector. So right here at step one, there's problems that can occur, right? So, for example, if you sent your test transaction, but it didn't reach data power at all, right? It didn't even hit the front side port, then data power doesn't have anything to make a note of, right? And so that WSM buffer, that WSM agent status is not going to change. There's not going to be anything new in the WSM buffer, okay? And so this scenario is actually typical because people working on data power and these Tivoli products, there tends to be a person who's more expert on the Tivoli side and somebody else who's more expert on the data power side. And so it might be the Tivoli subject matter expert who's looking and not seeing any data in the portal and thinking that something's wrong, when the issue is just that nobody's hitting the services right now on the data power side. Maybe it's not a production environment. Maybe that service only gets hit on certain days or times, and there's just no traffic. So it's something that we do talk with customers about just because of the typical separation of duties in a shop, customer shop. You know, your data power person is typically not your Tivoli person. The first thing is, you know, to make sure you have somebody who knows if data power is actually getting hit with anything. If data power is actually getting hit with traffic, that XML management interface might not be enabled. So you can do the same step we covered earlier in the WAMC section to show the XML management interface and make sure it's enabled. There's a WSM agent buffering mode feature. And if it's not set to buffer, it has a default of discard, which means if there's no data collector or subscriber looking for data, then data power is not going to bother with saving information in this WSM buffer. So it's kind of like the analogy of the tree falling in the forest. If there's nobody there to hear it, I'm not going to bother saving this data off to the side in this buffer. So you need to check this WSM agent buffering mode and make sure it's set to buffer. That way, no matter if the agent's currently connected or not, data will be saved on the transaction. It makes testing a lot simpler. This WSM buffer that we're showing in the little configuration diagram on the right, it's got a maximum size because data power doesn't want this metrics collection feature to impact the resources used for actual transaction processing. It's more important to successfully process the transaction than to make the little tick mark that you just processed it, right? You know, it might be a banking transaction. It probably is a business critical transaction. So your primary priority is to process it, and your secondary priority is to keep track of it. And so there are caps on the number of records that can go into that buffer and how much memory it can use. And once those maximums are hit, the records will just be thrown away. So if the records seen increments, but the complete records does not, then you might have hit these caps, you know, these maximums that are defined for the buffer. What you can do is increase those maximums and then start to keep a closer eye on this WSM agent status and see if you're just getting enough traffic that the default size maximums for this buffer are not big enough for the kind of volume that you're processing. Another reason why you might hit a service and not see any reflection in the WSM buffer is if the service is a multi-protocol gateway. Web service proxies, type of service in Data Power that's based on a WSDL, those services automatically do WSM processing when the feature is enabled in Data Power. But multi-protocol gateways do not create WSM records by default. There are sample style sheets in the resource section in the back, a pointer to them, where you can configure a multi-protocol gateway to do this kind of metrics processing, to do service management. But if you haven't done that yet, then a multi-protocol gateway will not create any records for the ITCAM SOA data collector to collect. And then lastly, if the service you're hitting is not a web service proxy and it's also not a multi-protocol gateway, you also will not see any reflection of your traffic in the WSM buffer. So if you have a web application firewall, an HTTP service, an XML firewall, none of those do this type of service management processing. Okay, page 21, please. Okay, so the first step, if you've created, if you sent your traffic and you see a reflection of it in that WSM agent status, the next step is that this ITCAM data collector is going to come get that complete record. Okay? So you send your traffic and the complete records is 5 and you send traffic and now the complete record should increase to 6. And if you send another transaction, it should increase to 7. And then on what by default is a 10-second interval, the data collector will come and get those records, okay? So you may be able, if you're quick, right, you can send 2, 3, or 4 transactions very quickly, check your complete records, and you should see that complete record count go up, 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 and then suddenly it'll go all the way to 0. And that's because the ITCAM for SOA data collector has come and collected those complete records. Okay, and again, that's why we're recommending use of the CLI interface here and a PuTTY session, because the data collector collects really quickly, and you have to move pretty fast to watch it work. Okay, so as you send more traffic, the complete record count should go up, and then all of a sudden it should drop back down to 0 or near 0, right, and then climb back up and then drop back down. Okay. Only complete records are collected, so there will be records marked pending. There will be a pending record count for transactions where we've seen the request but not the response yet. Hopefully those go away as the responses are processed. Slide 22. Okay, so in step 2, right, if you don't see those complete records collected and drop back to 0, then look at this other number in your WSM agent status called active subscribers. It shows how many data collectors are connected to Data Power at the time. So if it's 0, then the ITCAM data collector is not started, okay? So actually that first bullet I see should say the ITCAM for SOA data collector is not started because the data collector and the agent are two separate components as shown over on the right. If that data collector isn't, the complete records are just sitting there and they're not getting collected and the active subscribers is zero, then go check the ITCAM for SOA logs. They'll probably contain some kind of connection error. Maybe it's the, you know, same issue with trying to connect on port 5550 and it's not enabled, or the port numbers don't match on the ITCAM for SOA side and the data power side. Also, if you have subscribers greater than one, then that's typically not what you want, right? You typically have one data collector talking to data power. You might have more than one, you know, if you're doing some testing and you have a test data collector and a production data collector. But typically, the active subscriber count will just be one because you only intend to have one subscriber, one data collector hitting data power. So if it's more than one, then go look at the KD4 DPDC config properties file. When you configure the ITCAM for SOA data collector, it prompts you for the data power you want to monitor and the port and a user ID and password, and it saves that data in this properties file. If you run the configuration utility multiple times, then you get multiple stanzas in that configuration file, and maybe you just need to clean up the file and consolidate those multiple stanzas in it. When you stop the data power, the data collector on the ITCAM side, it takes about 30 minutes for data power to go ahead and clean that data collector out. Okay, so if the properties file is not the issue, stop the data collector on the ITCAM side and then look for data power to show an active subscriber count of zero after about 30 minutes so that to indicate that the data collector has been cleaned out of data power. You can, if you don't want to wait for the 30 minutes, you can reload data power. Reloading the firmware only takes just a couple seconds. It's very quick compared to a restart of data power or reboot of data power. And so that'll clean out your status and let you kind of start fresh if you don't want to wait the 30 minutes. Slide 23, please. Okay, so if the data collector is working properly and you see your complete records collected, they should be in some metric logs, okay? These are just flat files on the ITCAM for SOA data collector server where the data collector and the agent are running. And the data collector puts these metric logs in the KD4 logs directory, and the agent moves them to a directory called KD4 logs, KD4 cache. Okay? So if the agent and the data collector are both running, you should see metric logs in the KD4 cache directory, and you should see them right away because the agent moves them pretty quickly. Okay? So if you don't see the metric logs in the cache directory, then the agent's not running and you need to start it. If you don't see the logs in the logs directory, then that means that the data collector has actually collected the complete record, but then it had some sort of problem parsing it, and it couldn't actually write the record to the logs directory. And in that case, you'll see parsing errors in the ITCAM for SOA trace log. So there's a trace that you can turn on for data power, and it'll show you more detail. Or if there's a parsing error like this, it will probably show in this trace log without even turning on trace. And so if you don't see the metric log created at all or updated at all, look for some error messages in this log file. Slide 24, please. Finally, if the log files are getting created correctly, then you should see your data in the TEP, okay? there's still a point of failure here. It's just in your expectation of when to see the data, okay? So when we first were saying at the very beginning at step one, when you send your test transaction, note what time it is, that's because a transaction that you send at 10:37 in the morning won't display in the TEP until 10:40, and it will keep displaying there until 10:44 and 59 seconds. And then at 10:45, that transaction won't be part of what's displayed in TEP anymore in the typical views. I know there are historical views, there's data warehousing, there's all kinds of ways to show historical data. But when you're just trying to get data power in ITCAM for SOA talking initially, what you're looking for is just this 5-minute window. So you just need to be aware that when you send a transaction, know what time it is, and then don't expect the bar charts in the performance summary in the TEP to change until the next 5-minute window starts. Slide 25, please. So if you get those metric logs at step number 3 and you've waited until the 5-minute window in step number 4 and that you still don't see any data, then you need to synchronize your clocks because the data between data power and the data collector and the agent and TEP all need to be, you know, within that five-minute window they need in order to be displayed properly in TEP, okay? From your data power SSH session where we've been doing things like show XML management and show WSM agent status, do a show clock and compare that with the system time where the data collector and the agent are running and make sure it's both sides of this data flow think it's the same time. And if your TEP is running on a different server, check the TEP hub time. It's displayed at the bottom of the Tivoli Enterprise portal and make sure your TEP thinks it's the same time as well. Okay? If the metric logs just sit there in that KD4 cache directory and they don't move to archive, there's an archive folder under the logs directory as well. That's another indication that we've got some kind of a problem with the clocks on the different systems. And just be aware, again, of that 5-minute window. When we show the TEP originally, like maybe 6-7 slides ago, I pointed out that -1 for elapsed time. And there's also a 0 under accounts. That just might mean there's no data right now. There's nobody's hitting the services right now, and there's just no traffic. It doesn't necessarily indicate an error. So if you didn't note the time of a transaction, you know, or if you're not the data power person and you're just working on the Tivoli side, the metric logs contain a timestamp. It's just in an epoch format. It's like the number of seconds since 1970 or something, I forget. But you can use some kind of web, you know, there's utilities on the web, or you might have something on your workstation that'll convert an epoch timestamp into a local timestamp. That will let you know what time the transaction was created on data power, and that might help you understand if you've got a issue with clocks being out of sync as well. If you're working on the data power side, you can also check the data power log for the time of the transaction and just kind of make sure that, you know, your TEP and your data power and your agent and your data collector all think that it's the same time of day. Slide 26, please. So we went over the different features of monitoring at an appliance level for utilization. We talked about using the logs and looking at your configuration and the data power packet capture feature if the SNMP monitoring doesn't seem to be working. For appliance management, we looked at the system out log as a way to debug if you're trying to set firmware levels for one of the data power appliances that you've decided to manage and it's not working. And then for services management, we just talked about having an awareness of how data flows through the different components. so that if data is not appearing at the end destination like you hoped, you can go back to steps 1 through 4 and kind of analyze how far the data got, and maybe that way find the root cause for the problem. Slide 27, please. So this shows some resources, since I kind of had to go pretty quickly over the functionality of the different components. If you're interested in more in-depth resources for an individual component, the ITCAM Agent for User Guide is available, and there's actually viewlets that actually show you step-by-step how to configure the agent. If you're having trouble with setup, WAMC Information Center and the Education Assistant that, again, kind of helps with step-by-step things is available also, and some previous webcasts on ITCAM for SOA, and those sample style sheets for a multi-protocol gateway are also listed on this page. Okay, slide 28, please. And Joseph, I'll turn the presentation back over to you to go over the rest.
Thank you, Doreen, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Ed Churchman, your line is open.
Yeah, hi. A question on the agent collector for the services data. Does that actually run on TEP, or does that run on a separate server?
I've got mine running on the same server where I have TEP, but I don't think that's required at all. When you configure those agents, you configure where your TEP is. I've worked with my Tivoli teammates sometimes to try to hit their TEP from my agent, or they can conversely hit my agent from their TEP. So I think you can have them on separate servers.
Okay. And one other quick question. Is there any sheets, Excel spreadsheets or anything that tells us how much data? So assuming we have 1 million messages a day or something, can we compute how much data would actually end up in TEP?
Oh, like for data warehouse?
Yeah.
Figuring out the capacity?
Right.
Okay. And I'll have to get back to you on that. If you want to email me or...
Sure.
Or, and I can... that's a little over on the Tivoli side for me, so I'll ask my Tivoli teammates for that one.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Our next question is from Sahara Taha Mark. Your line is open.
Hi, Ed actually took my one of my questions. However, I do have another. When a manual update is being done to the Data Power firmware, will WAMC get synced and report the update?
So you're talking about if Data Power is currently at 4012, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of using WAMC to push the firmware, you just go onto the Data Power and update it.
Correct.
Okay, my first impression is that when you're managing appliances with WAMC, you're choosing WAMC to be the master.
Got it.
Not to do whatever the Data Power tells it. So I think that WAMC would, kind of downgrade you back again or report an error, one or the other. So I'm almost certain that firmware that's on the appliance won't come up to WAMC, like kind of an inverse sync, because, the WAMC has the firmware uploaded into it, right? So that firmware might not even be in WAMC for one thing, and that's just not the intent of the functionality for another.
Okay. And there's no way to sync them up at any point, at least not for right now.
Not that I know of,
okay.
but I think that's not the, I guess that's not the, what you're even trying to do, right? Like what you're trying to do is have WAMC be your control point, right?
Nope, I got that.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, great. Thanks.
You have no further questions over the phone.
Thank you, Jackie. Now, I see a couple questions here in the group chat, so I am going to announce these questions right now. The first question is, in WSM buffer, can we also get requester information like IP addresses, etc.?
Yes. There's a client ID field. I believe I've seen both the request or IP address and the separate field called client ID that's more like the identifier or, you know, who the person is rather than just their IP address. So customers have used that to literally identify the individual requesting the service, or they've customized it to kind of do more line of business requesting the service so they can bill back, you know, by line of business for use of the service. So both are there. I believe the client ID is something you have to turn on the ITCAM side on the data collector configuration, and customization of that. There's a little tip on that on the same page where the multi-protocol gateway sample style sheets are.
Thank you, Doreen. The next question we have here is, while configuring data power, do we get any additional capabilities using the SNMP version 2 or version 3 rather than version 1?
I'm not aware of any difference between version 1 and 2 because they both use communities kind of for authentication, but version 3 is, my understanding, a big step up in security. So with version 3, the data can be secured. There's shared secrets and encryption methods that you configure when you're using version 3. And so I believe that it's pretty common to use version 3 in a production environment where you almost always have to think about security. I would recommend starting with version 2 just because the configuration is so simple, or version 1. When I've used either one, I've had to just configure a community and then, you know, get with your production team to talk about security requirements and use of version 3 before you go production.
Thank you, Doreen. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.